You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Risk. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
So what feelings are you experiencing? Most of them did not have to die. What do you think about those who froze to death and didn't have to? What are your feelings of those in the boat that were more concerned with their own safety than helping those who were drowning? No doubt you have some of those feelings that I have. Anger, frustration. Maybe the question, why? Well, they were refusing to take a risk. What was the worst that could happen? Well, today we're kicking off a series, and it's called exactly that, Risk. What's the worst that can happen? And for 2017, we've chosen this phrase for New Point, connecting others to God. Connecting others to God. You see, we believe that the greatest gift that someone who is following Christ can give to another person is to introduce them to the God who loves them. Who loves them. And yet for some reason, we're a little bit like those who were in the lifeboats. We contemplate, is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk to introduce my friends, my family, my co-workers to a God who loves them? And sad to say, many times we're more concerned about ourselves than we are those around us. And they're drowning. So what would cause someone like me or someone like you to not take the risk? Well, I think that there's many different reasons, but I want to give you some today. And let me encourage you to take your note-taking guide out. You know, I think the first one is that we fear. You know, those in the lifeboat, they were fearful. They were fearful for their own life. They were fearful, what would happen if we risk going back for those? And that's kind of like us, isn't it? I mean, we are fearful. We're afraid that we might get rejected. We're afraid that we might be misunderstood. We're afraid of maybe not knowing what to say. I mean, there's just a lot of things that consume us that makes us fearful. And so because we fear, we don't take the risk of maybe introducing our family member or our friends or maybe our co-workers to a God who loves them, even though that is the greatest thing that we could do for someone. So we're kind of fearful. You know, I think another reason is we forget. We just forget. We have forgotten really what it means to have a personal relationship with this God who loves us unconditionally. You know, Jesus is just kind of a routine for us. And our passion for him has kind of settled into mediocrity. And we've become so familiar with God and His goodness that what happens is we end up taking it for granted. And in taking it for granted, we kind of forget all that He's done for us and the love that He has for us. And so I think that we kind of battle fear and we kind of forget really what has transpired in our life. I think another one is that we're not concerned. We're just not concerned. And that's hard to believe, but you know, just like those in the lifeboat, they weren't concerned really about the other people. They were consumed with their own safety. And I think that you and I, we live among people every day who's going to spend forever somewhere. And we're just not concerned. You know, we believe that maybe good people do go to heaven. And yet the fact of the matter is, that's not true. That's not true. And so what happens is, we're not concerned that people around us are going to spend forever somewhere. I think another one is we don't feel qualified. We just don't feel qualified. I mean, you're probably thinking, hey, Dwight, that's why you draw a check. I mean, that's why we give, and that's why we support, and that's why we do all of this here at New Point, is so that people like you can be able to help other people connect to God. That people like you can introduce people to this God who loves them so much. And so we just don't feel qualified. You know, we don't feel that we know enough. And yet what I would say is that all of these do not give you and I the right not to take the risk. Because what's the worst that could happen? Maybe you are misunderstood. Maybe you do have to fight through a fear. Maybe you do have to learn some things. But for somebody who's going to spend forever somewhere, it's worth the risk. And so as we kick off this series, what I want to do is I want us to look at one specific verse. And yet for us to be able to grasp this whole verse, I need to give you a little bit of a background on it. And you can read it sometime. It's in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But let me just give you the background of this one little verse that we want to look at today. You know, Jesus is walking the shores of Galilee, and a crowd is following him, and it begins to get larger and larger and larger. And he wanted to do some teaching. And so he saw these two boats that were right there. And there were a group of fishermen around him kind of cleaning their nets and mending their nets. And he just said to one of them, he said, hey, he says, can I get in your boat and can you just push it out a little ways? And Peter said, yes. And so Jesus was in this boat and he was talking about the kingdom of God. And he was letting everybody know the kingdom of God is near. Be ready, it's coming. Matter of fact, he even said, repent. That means prepare yourself. Because it's near. And so Jesus taught this lesson, and after he was done, he said to Peter, he said, hey, how about just pushing it even further out? Let's go out to the deep, deep waters. And I want you to let down your nets. And Pete, not being bashful, told the Lord, he said, hey, he said, you know what? He said, we've already done this. We've already been there. He said, we fished all night long. And you know what? We caught absolutely nothing. And no doubt what else was going in his mind is, you know what? I've been fishing this sea for years, and you're a carpenter, man. You don't know beans about fishing. And you're telling me to push even further out? And we've just cleaned our nets? Are you kidding me? But Peter does something out of the ordinary. He says, Master, referring to Jesus, because you say so, I will go out and I will drop my nets. Even though we've fished all night and we've caught nothing. And if you grew up in church, you know what happens. They caught such a great catch that the nets begin to tear. And that they had to call the other fishermen who were out on the lake in their boats to come and to help them bring in this big, big catch. And so it's in that setting that Jesus comes back to the shore and he begins to have a conversation with these fishermen. And it's recorded in Matthew and it's recorded in Mark and Luke and John. But they're all a little bit different from their perspective. But Matthew gives us what Jesus says to them after all of this had happened. Here's what he says. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. Jesus was telling them, you know what? I want you to follow me. And if you follow me, I'm going to make you into something. If you will hang out with me, if you will follow me, I will make you into something. And maybe they thought, you know what? If I follow him, he's going to make me more disciplined. Or maybe he's going to make me more religious. Or maybe he's going to make me more wealthier. He's going to make me wealthy. Or maybe he's going to make me healthy. He's going to give me physical health. Or maybe he's going to make me wiser. Or if I follow him, maybe, just maybe, he'll make me a better person because I like him and I've listened to his teaching and I've been following him and I've been hearing more and more about him. And that's kind of what we would think, right? If I follow Jesus, he's going to make me more disciplined. How many of us would like to be more disciplined than what we are? Or maybe he's going to make me a little bit more religious. Or even wealthier. Or maybe if you struggle physically, you know what he's going to do? He's going to make me healthier. He's going to heal me. That's why I'm going to follow Jesus. Or maybe he'll make me wiser. Or at least he's going to make me a better person. You see, why are you following Jesus? Why did you follow Jesus? Was it for one of those reasons? Let me tell you why I began following Jesus. I didn't want to go to hell. How about you? You know, I just didn't want to go to hell. I mean, I learned that there was a heaven, and I learned that there was a hell. And I thought, you know what? Easy choice for me. I'm going with Jesus. If he lived and he died and he rose again so that I could go to heaven, I'm going to follow him. But you know what? Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will make you not more religious, okay, not wiser, but here's what he says. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Say what? I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, follow me, and I'll make you more religious. He didn't say, follow me and I will make you wealthier. He didn't even say, follow me and I'll make you a better person. I'll make you a better husband, Dwight. I'll make you a better father. I'll make you a better leader, whatever it is. No, what he said is, you know what? If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You see, here's the great thing about Jesus. Jesus is always up front. You never have to worry about clarity with Jesus. And that's what he's telling these guys. He is saying, hey, you know what? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they probably didn't fully understand what that meant. You see, they weren't following Jesus at this time to be fishers of men. They just saw something that was unexplainable. They had fished all night and caught no fish. And now they go out at the wrong time of the day, they drop their nets, and guess what? They get a great catch. They just saw a miracle. And what they saw and what they experienced, you know what? No doubt they said, I'd like to have more of that. I'd like to experience more of that. So you know what? Sure, I'll follow you, Jesus. Man, if you're going to continue to do that stuff, I'm in. And that's why many people follow Jesus, but we don't really understand what he's calling us to. And so what happens is we follow him and we never stop asking for things from him. And he doesn't mind that, but he just wants you to know that there's a higher purpose than that. And so he says to these men, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, they had an idea of what he meant, but I don't believe that they fully understood everything that he meant. You see, fishers of men in that day was a common term. And it was a word that philosophers would use. And basically, what fishers of men would mean would be that you would teach and persuade people to change their mind. And so in one way, Jesus was saying, follow me and I will make you be able to teach people and persuade people to change their mind about who God really is. And you see, that's what he wants for you and that's what he wants for me. You see, really, how do you know if you're following Jesus? Well, it's this. Following Jesus means fishing for men. And if you're not fishing for men, you're not following Jesus. Are you all okay on that one? You might be coming to church. You might be doing acts of service, but you're not following Jesus. And how we would say it today here at New Point, it would be this. Following Jesus means connecting others to God. It means connecting others to God. And so what we have to understand is this, that when you and I receive an invitation to follow Jesus, it ultimately means that we're called to help other people connect with God. That's what it means. And that's his desire for your life, and that's his desire for me. Now, following Jesus, there's many advantages. And there's many great things about following Jesus. But the bottom line and the real reason that Jesus asked of you and me to follow him is to connect others to God, is to be fishers of men. Now, why is that? Because God wants to take everything that has ever happened in your life and leverage it for an eternal purpose. You realize that? That's what God wants. God wants to take everything that has ever happened to you and leverage it for an eternal purpose. You see, what happens is we have birth and we have death. And everything in between that is basically temporal. It's temporary. And it's just stuff that happens. And yet Jesus says to you and I, follow me and I will make you into something. I will make you fishers of men. I will give you the ability to help other people connect to God. You see, here's what I believe. God has positioned you perfectly to take all that has happened in your life and give it eternal value. Wow. Everything that's happened in your life, the good, the bad, the great things, the small things, God has positioned you to perfectly take everything that has happened to you, all that is temporary, and give it eternal value. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what God wants to do. Everything that has happened in your life, both good and bad, God wants to use. God wants to use. And God says, if you will follow me, I will make you into someone who connects other people to me. He wants to take the fact that you have children and position you in a place of where it brings about eternal value. He wants to take you who don't have children, who can't have children, and he wants to position you and to use that for eternal value. He wants to take you who are married, and he wants to use that and position you to be able to bring eternal value out of that. He wants to take you who are divorced and who have gone through the pain of that separation and it's torn you apart and it's torn your family apart. He wants to take that and position you to use it for eternal value. He wants to take your successes. You're a successful business person. You're a successful entrepreneur. And he wants to take that and he wants to leverage it for eternal value. He wants to take you as a business person who has had one failure after another failure after another failure. You've gone into bankruptcy. And he wants to take that and he wants to use it for an eternal purpose. He wants to take everything that you and I have ever gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And what he wants to do is he wants to position you perfectly to use all of that to help you connect other people to God. Isn't that fabulous? You see, that's what it means to follow Jesus. When Jesus says to you and me, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, that's what he's talking about. And it's a process. You won't always get it right. You won't always do it right. You won't always have the results that you want. But Jesus says this, if you'll hang out with me, if you'll follow me, if you're truly following me, I will lead you to a place of where everything that has happened in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, will be leveraged to be able to help other people connect with God. You know what that does for me? That brings purpose in my life. That brings significance in my life. That means that nothing that has happened to me is wasted. There's not one mistake that I've made. There's not one failure that I've experienced. There's not one even sin that I've committed that cannot be redeemed and cannot be used for eternal value. You see, what happens is this, is you have a tendency to think, well, I'm not very good at this. Dwight, you would be much better at it than me. And you know what I'm saying? Oh, you don't understand, man. You're going to be much better at it than me because once they find out that I'm a pastor, you know what? The walls go up. And they won't want to even hear anything from me. And they'll think, you know what, you're paid to do that. That's what you get paid for. And so here I am, I'm thinking, you know what, you're really a whole lot better at it than me. And you're thinking, Dwight, I think you're a whole lot better at it than me. And what we need to understand is this, God has positioned you perfectly to take all that has happened in your life and give it eternal value. To leverage it to help people. You see, here's what you need to understand. The message of God's love is not enough. You need a messenger. And that messenger is you. That messenger is me. And what happens is you have the message of God's love and you have a messenger who's experienced that love. And then you have a moment with somebody, and guess what happens? You help them connect with a Heavenly Father who loves them and cares for them and sent His only Son to die for them. And so I want you to hear me. Your Heavenly Father has positioned you perfectly to take everything that has happened to you, that which has broken your heart, that which has torn your life apart, and He wants to leverage it for eternal good, for eternal purpose. And what He says to you and me is this: Dwight, you keep following me. Betty, you keep following me. George, you keep following me. Larry, you keep following me. And you know what? It's a process. I will make you into fishers of men. I will make you be able to connect other people to me. Because when they see me working in your life, and they see their own circumstance, they see their own life, then there will be a connection. Now, no one did this better than the Apostle Paul. And the reason why we're here today is because Peter, James, and John followed Jesus, and they understood that following Jesus meant to be fishers of men. It meant connecting other people to God. And in doing so, it helped the Apostle Paul connect with God. And the Apostle Paul then, in return, continued to follow Jesus and helped other people connect to God. And so 2,000 years later, we're here worshiping and celebrating a Jewish carpenter. You know why? Because there were a group of people who followed Jesus, and He made them into being fishers of men. And so Paul writes this. He says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. What's the task that the Lord Jesus gave him? The same one that He's given every single one of us. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you a person who connects other people to God. Here's what He says. The task of what? Testifying to the good news of God's grace. What's He talking about? He is saying, you know what? My life is worth nothing. It all boils down to this one thing, of helping other people connect with God. And Paul is a living example of a man who did horrible things. Matter of fact, he would describe himself as the worst of sinners. And God took everything that Paul did, the good, the bad, and He positioned Paul perfectly to leverage everything that happened in his life for eternal good, and for an eternal purpose, and for eternal value. And Paul is saying, you know what? If I don't do that, if I don't become a fisher of men, if I don't become one who helps others connect with God, my life is worth nothing. And so Paul gave his life to that because he followed Jesus. Let me ask you a question today. Are you following Jesus? You say, yeah, then who are you connecting with God? Because if you're not connecting anybody to God, you're not following Jesus. Y'all all right on that one? You see, the way in which you know that you're following Jesus is that you have become a fisher of men. You have become one who says, you know what, my aim in life, my goal in life, is not to become just a better person or a better father or a better mother or a better husband or wife or even a better person. My aim in life is to follow Jesus and to become a fisher of people, of men. And that was Paul. And so Paul would challenge people over and over again to do this. And he wrote a letter. It's called the Book of Colossians. And he wrote it to a church, Colossae, and he was challenging them, and he was giving them keys to how to help people connect with God, because it's not a method, it's a process. And so he says this to those in the Colossae church. He says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He's saying, you know what? Devote yourself to prayer. Become a man or a woman who prays. And be watchful, because you know what? God has perfectly positioned you to leverage everything in your life for an eternal value, for an eternal purpose. He goes on to say this, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. What's our message? God loves you. God wants to have a personal relationship with you, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. And so the first key in this process of you and I allowing God to make us into fishers of men is to pray, is just to begin to pray. You know what? We have encouraged you throughout this past year to be able to develop a top 10 list of people that you're praying for, and that's a part of your life, that maybe that you work with. Maybe, you know, it's your son or your daughter's friend's mom and dad. But it's people who don't know Jesus Christ, who's going to spend forever somewhere. And so what we would say is pray. I've got a list of 10 people that I'm praying for, and I'm asking God, God, when I'm around them, help me to be watchful. Help me to be able to have an attitude of gratitude. Help me to be able to know what to say. And so pray, pray, pray. And then he goes on to say this. He says, and be wise in the way in which you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And so Paul would say, we need to pray, but you know what else we need to do? We need to be wise. God, help me to be sensitive to those in my life. When I go to the office, when I go to the factory, when I go to the ball game, when I go fill in the blank, help me to be wise and help me to be sensitive and help me to be watchful for the people in my life that you've brought in my life, that you have positioned me to rub shoulders with, that you have positioned me to have relationships with. And help me to be wise towards them. And then finally, he goes on to say this, and let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Here's what I think he's saying. He's saying you need to have good conversations. Now, I know that today it's hard to have good conversations because our conversations usually, what, turn negative. And that's not a good conversation. He says, let your conversations be full of grace. That means non-judgmental. Most of our conversations deal with judgmentalism. We're judging people right and left. And what he says is, you know what? That's not a good conversation. He says, have a good conversation. Always full of grace and seasoned with salt. That means that you add good things to it. You add good flavor to it. And so Paul is saying, you know what? Here's three keys in which you and I can begin to process in our life so that we can leverage what God has done in our life. He says, pray that God will give you an opportunity. Pray that you'll be able to speak clearly and be wise in the way in which you're acting and responding to people. And then have good conversation. And here's the key to a good conversation. The key to being interesting in a conversation is to be interested. That means that we listen. You know, whenever you're a part of a good conversation, when somebody says, hey, you know, I know that you were going to have a conversation with so-and-so. How do you determine whether it's a good conversation? Let me tell you how. Whether they were interested in what you had to say. If they weren't interested in what you had to say, you know what you're saying? Nah, it wasn't a good conversation. All they wanted to do was tell me where I got it wrong. And what Paul is saying here is have good conversations that's seasoned with grace. That means that we get what we don't deserve and seasoned with salt. And so Jesus would say to you and me, come and follow me and I will make you not a better person, not a wealthier person, not a more religious person. He says, come and follow me, and I will make you into something that you are not. And that is a man or a woman who's connecting other people to God. And so here's what I want you to get. God has positioned you perfectly to take all that has happened in your life, the good, the bad, the high times, the low times, the disappointments, the defeats, the victories, the successes, all of that. And God has positioned you perfectly to take all of that, which is, by the way, temporary. Your marriage and my marriage is going to come to an end, right? Somebody's going to die. Your kids and my kids are going to come to an end. Somebody's going to die. They're all temporary. Everything in life is temporary except your spiritual being. He says, you know what? He'll take all that has happened in your life that's temporary, and he will give it eternal value. Wow. Now, if you're here today and maybe you're not a Christ follower and you're saying to yourself, you know what, Dwight? This is the reason why I don't like you guys. Because you have an agenda and you're trying to convert people. And I just think that's wrong. Well, here's what I want you to understand. We don't think that we're better than you. Not at all. But we do believe that we're better off than you. And that is, we believe that there are advantages in following Jesus Christ. One would be forgiveness of sin. One would be eternal life. And we would be remiss if we would not want to share it with you. And so we're committed to sharing it with you because we care about you. It's your choice. It's your decision. But we believe in following Jesus, we're better off. Now, for those of us who know Christ, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be able to say to God, take my abortion. Take my bankruptcy. Take my divorce. Take my successes. Take my failures. Take my addiction. Take, fill in the blank, and I want you to leverage it for an eternal purpose. I want you to take all the temporary stuff in my life, and I'm believing, God, that you're positioning me with other people, that I can begin to share what has happened in my life and the hope and the healing that you've brought to me so that eternal value will come out of it. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that someone fished for us, that someone was willing to risk, and they shared and they helped us to connect with you. And because of that, we are eternally grateful. And so, God, I pray that all of us would be determined to follow you and to allow you to make us into men and women who connect other people to you in a personal relationship. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.